Time to start working. Is that working okay? Yeah, that's grand. Okay, so the book of Revelation, wow. This sermon, I really struggled to find a title for it, actually, and I bounded a few ideas off Julie, and I felt in my heart this was the best title that I could come up with for the sermon. Connect and See, You Will Never Be the Same Again, Or We'll Give You Your Money Back. To use a stepism there. So, connect and see, you will never be the same again. All right. So, and I'm going to be talking on Revelation 1, and I'll be following the verses that Rotson has just talked on. I'm going to be looking at verses 9. To 20, 9 to 20, and that is the vision of the Son of Man. Connect and see, you will not be the same again, guaranteed. So a bit of preamble to the story. So John, who was John? John was a man, and he was numbered amongst the original 12 apostles. Jesus included him in his inner circle during his earthly ministry. He walked very, very closely with the Lord. He was there to witness the Lord's transfiguration. So he was in connection with Jesus. Following the Lord's death and resurrection, John became a well-respected church leader. He wrote the Gospel of John, and three New Testament epistles bear his name. John enjoyed a full life in active service for the gospel. Before he died, God gave him one more assignment, a prophetic assignment. As John sat in exile on the Isle of Patmos, which is an ancient Alcatraz, I believe. I had a look at it this morning on the wonders of YouTube. It looks actually very, very nice and idyllic now, but back then it was a penal colony and you didn't want to end up there. And whilst there, John penned the book of Revelation, a book of prophecy detailing the final conflict between good and evil. We're just going to read here the vision of the Son of Man. And it reads, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There's a big key. And I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in this book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and I have turned and saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like white wool and as white as snow. And his eyes were like the flame of fire. And his feet were like fine brass, as if it was refined in a furnace. And his voice was the voice of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And then I saw him and I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am him who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write down these things which you have seen, the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you have saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, what does revelation mean? Revelation means a surprising and previously unknown fact that has now been disclosed to others. Revelation is to reveal something that was hidden before, like opening a curtain or a door to see what's behind it. It's like almost if you believe it could have been snowing the night before and you draw your curtains and hey presto, it's lovely and white outside. Or in case of Northern Ireland, it's probably soaking. It is the act of revealing or disclosing something that has never been known or ever seen before. God gave John the revelation of Jesus Christ to show his servants the things that would soon take place. When John was there, he was in the Spirit. He was connected to the Spirit. And doing the research, he was in a state of ecstasy when he was in the Spirit. How could you not if you're connected to God? He saw Jesus. John was greatly, greatly impacted by seeing the Son of Man. Like it says in verse 17 and 18, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and last. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and Hades. So John caught the vision of the Son of Man. He saw the revelation, and John was greatly, greatly impacted. My central point this morning is when we catch the vision of the Son of Man, something shifts. Something shifts. We change. What type of a shift happens? How do we change? Let's just unpack that this morning. On meditating on this, I have felt in my spirit some important things to say about this and to mention. Now, the list is not exhaustive, you know. So, what I've got here, firstly, when we catch the vision of the Son of Man, we hunger for more revelation of Jesus. We want more penetration of him in our hearts. We want more of him. We want to know him more rather than simply knowing about him. Allow the facts you know about Jesus to become your reality. Do something with them. Don't just let it be floating around in your head like head knowledge. Do something with them. Allow it to penetrate into your heart. Like it says in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, these people drew near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines, the commandments of men. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is not power. Experiential knowledge is power. When we actually experience Jesus Christ, that's the power. You can know everything you want about him, but until you experience the Spirit, until you're in there experiencing Jesus, there's no power. But when you experience him, there's an explosion of power. Knowing about Jesus is completely different to experiencing the King of Kings, That's why it's so important to be in the Spirit. Oh, church, don't settle for knowing about Jesus. Let's truly experience Jesus. Get to know him. He desires to have a relationship with you. You're his daughter, Leah. Leo, you're his young son, a young pup at the tender age of 22 and a quarter. Like it says in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and dine with him, and he with me. He's wanting a relationship with you. The second point, when we catch the vision of the Son of Man, you have a shift in focus in terms of serving. Andre touched on this morning when he gave his word. I mean, look at Jesus, focus on him. He is the servant king. He served first, and where is he now? He's exalted in the highest place. That's the reality. There's something about service. When we connect with the vision of the Son of Man, we then have a heart to service. The Lord gives us burdens for people we never had before. We undergo a spiritual heart transplant. Like it says in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It also says in Ezekiel 36:26, moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh. Wow. Now, this is very interesting. Think about a heart of stone. Is a heart of stone living or dead? Dead. The heart of flesh within you, metaphorically speaking, is. Why? Because he's within you. He's taken away and he's given you life. When we catch the vision of the Son of Man, our lives become completely and utterly transformed. From a life coaching perspective, Jesus is the ultimate transformational coach. You're never going to get any better than Jesus. Genuinely, Tony Robbins, Jamie Smart, John Maxwell, don't come near him. Not even in the same sentence. Now think about this. Corinthians 2, verses, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is such a powerful and encouraging piece of scripture. If you're in Christ, you're brand spanking new. Wow. The old things are gone. They've passed away. And behold, new things have come. What a brilliant thing to have. Your slate wiped clean. How does it feel like when your slate's wiped clean? The feeling of relief, the feeling of gratitude comes to mind. These things are gone. They're passed away. You no longer need to dwell in your past. You can focus on the now and on the things to come. You can focus on God. And God transforms us from the inside out. We are constantly going from one degree of glory to another. He puts us through the refining fire. As it says in Malachi 3 and 3, I'm sure this was touched on when we done the session on Malachi. And he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. When we capture the vision of the Son of Man, we are captivated by the Lord Jesus. We can't get him out of our heads. We are focused on it.
I would encourage you this afternoon, go and spend a bit of time with the Lord. Stop for a moment. Look at Jesus. Look at the vision of Jesus and ask yourself, what captivates me about you, Lord? What captivates me about you, Lord? Write it down. Have you ever been captivated before? What does it feel like? Was it that feeling when you first spotted your wife? Were you captivated by her? Was it the first time that you visited your favorite football team stadium? Were you captivated by the boys in red coming out of Pataudry? Probably not, because I probably get gubbed that day. But anyway, captivation is all consuming. It's all consuming. And the last part of verse 17 and 18 in Revelation 1 says, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death and Hades. The vision of the Son of Light, or Son of Man, is all about life. That's what captivates me when I read that about Jesus. He is the source of life. He is the first and the last. The vision of the Son of Man is so inspiring as well, because he was dead and is now alive forevermore. He has conquered death. He has the keys of death and Hades in his very hands. Wow. And it says in Corinthians 1:15-15, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It has no victory. It has no sting because he has conquered it completely. He's got it in his hands. So it's life-giving. There's nothing dead about the gospel. There's nothing dead about Jesus. He emanates life itself. And the wonderful thing of as a believer, you don't face death. We enter into promotion. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You don't face death. You enter into promotion. Wonderful. Here's a checkpoint this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Isn't that interesting? We don't have the vision of the Son of Man. Perish. Why? There's no life in it. That's that verse from Proverbs 29:18. The challenging question this morning is, are you captivated by the vision of Jesus? Take time this afternoon, go away, and ask yourself, why am I captivated? How could I be captivated? Why am I captivated? What captivates me about Jesus? Write it down and stick in that. When we catch the vision of the Son of Man, we no longer want to compete against one another. We want to complete one another. Now, this is not what society conditions us for, teaches us today. From a very early age, you're taught to be competitive. Whether that's playing sport, in school, or whatever. Society teaches us to compete against one another, to get ahead of someone, to get a bigger house than someone, to drive a newer Mercedes than someone, to eat in better restaurants, to have better clothes. Why have Levi's when you can have Armani? That's what society says, you know. Why wear Brut when you can have Calvin Klein? That's what I say to Julie, you know. Society wants us to enter into the rat race. But what is it? What does that teach you? How to become a rat? Any of you guys rats? I don't think so. No. But don't become a rat. Say no. Instead, when you catch the vision of Jesus, And I'll steal this from John Maxwell. The me becomes the we. It's not about me. It's about the body of Christ. It's about Jesus. And Philippians 2:2 says, then fill me with joy by having the same attitude, sharing love, being united in spirit, and keeping one purpose in mind. Fill me with joy by having the same attitude. Isn't it wonderful when we're united together? The feeling of joy, you know, pressing forward for the one goal. Wow. No friction, just woof. And the joy come from that is quite amazing. Sharing love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Beloved one another. Being united in spirit, resonating the heartbeat of God. Keeping one purpose in mind, pressing forward, focused, bump. You can't multitask, folks. You can't. It's a myth. Keep one purpose in mind, bump. Don't be jealous of one another. We're all part of the same body. If I'm an eye, Leah, and you're a big toe, I don't want to be jealous of you, and you don't want to be jealous of me, because we've got different jobs to carry out, different missions to carry out. Our callings can be different from one another's, but that's okay. That's okay, because God has given us each a calling. God is calling us to dwell in unity. Like it says in Psalm 133, verse 1, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. For the Lord commands a blessing for now and evermore. So there's an interesting thing there, isn't it? How God commands a blessing when we complete. See that? So God commands a blessing when we complete, not when we're at loggerheads and a competition with one another. So don't strive to get ahead of one another. Focus on completing one another. And that's is true much in the spiritual world, in our churches, in our workplaces, everywhere we go. Don't fall into the trap of the devil. One of his oldest tactics is divide and rule. Divide and conquer. A divided house cannot stand. Sidestep the plans of the enemy. Stop and take a moment. Go and encourage your brother or your sister. Encouragement changes lives. A word of encouragement, a word of exhortation gives energy to people. Encourage your brothers. Be their own best cheerleader. Get alongside them. And what you will find is they will get alongside you and start to encourage you. So, church, create a culture of encouragement. Get alongside people. Encourage them. Cheer them on. Be a lifter of people. Be a lifter of people. How can you learn to be a lifter of people? Look at Jesus Christ. He will teach you how to be a lifter of people. Read his word. Ask the Holy Spirit. Spirit, intervene, as Robert Donald would say. How can I be a lifter? And he'll show you. Isn't it wonderful to lift people and encourage them? Yeah. And in these moments when you find it challenging to do that, turn it upside down. Let your words out of your mouth be like a double-edged sword. Like it says in that passage, and to sever off the words of the enemy. Cut it free. Encouragement also empowers the body of Christ. Like it says in Romans 15, 5 and 6, now may the Lord God of patience and comfort grant you to like-minded towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth. Glorify God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we catch this vision of the Son of Man, we are obedient. John was obedient in verse 19 when he was asked, write down the things which you have seen. When he done that. When the Lord tells you to do something, do it and do it straight away. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If God's telling you to do something, implement it immediately, if not sooner. There is a reason why. Do it. Like Nike says, just do it. Just do it. If God tells you something, you do it. Be disciplined in your approach to this. Discipline is the key to freedom. Create a culture of obedience in your life. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So the Lord's telling you to do something. He's telling you for a reason. It's not telling you to do just for the sake of it. There is a purpose in it. And there's also a blessing in being obedient to God. Why? Because you're his children. He wants to give you good things. He said in Job 22:21, agree with God and be at peace, thereby good will come to you. Agree with God and be at peace, thereby good will come to you. The final point, when the vision, when we catch the vision of the Son of Man, our purpose on this earth is to glorify God. We are less focused on ourselves. Everything that we do is done to the glory of God. Everything from washing dishes to playing football, whatever it might be, do it unto the glory of God. To sum that up, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about illuminating the Son. Point toward the Son every time. Give it back to God. So in conclusion, when we connect with the Spirit, it brings revelation. When we see Jesus, we will never be the same again. Guaranteed fact. We are hungry for more of Jesus. When you taste something nice, you want to have more of it. You want to feed the Spirit, man. We have a greater focus then on serving others. But like Andre was talking about, serving others from the strength of the Lord and not your own strength. We are transformed from the inside out. We are captivated by Jesus Christ. We can't get him out of our heads. We have a new culture of completion rather than competition. We are obedient to the Lord. And our whole life purpose is to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.